Nathan challenged everyone to tell their children what they learned in the sermon this morning. I'm going to ask myself what I learned in the sermon this morning. I also heard Pastor Nate say, when we're going to sing this morning, I hope we're going to raise the roof. Well, I was thinking the chair of our property committee might have some difficulties with that if we wanted to raise the roof. Nonetheless, we are here to worship, and we've heard so often this morning, the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. Praise be to God. Now, to no one's surprise, this is Easter Sunday 2024, as I prefer to refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. And we remember Resurrection Sunday because it followed Good Friday. And on Good Friday, a strange name for that day, but on Good Friday, Jesus died on the cross. And he died to pay for your sin and for mine. Billions of people in this earth and over the ages past, and so many of them do not know that Jesus paid for their sin on the cross of Jesus Christ. We praise him for this. So now it's Sunday, and we are recognizing his resurrection. Jesus is alive forevermore. Praise be to God. We serve a risen Savior. We know that when Jesus died, at least when he was hanging on the cross, people challenged him and said, if you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. Jesus did not come down off that cross. In fact, he had something even better. What was better? He died, he was buried, he was in the grave for 3 nights, and then on Resurrection Sunday, he rose again. And he rose again, proving his power, proving that he was and is who he said he was. And the wonderful truth is that that resurrection power in Jesus Christ, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And when we put our trust in him, that same resurrection power is for you and for me and every believer, for which we praise God. He did not remain in the grave. He rose from the grave, and he had complete victory. Now, as we know, all of us we do know, but incidentally, there are probably seven or eight very solid truths that you and I need to know about Jesus the Christ as we place our belief in him. But this morning, we're going to touch on two very briefly, and then the third one is going to take a little longer time. Now, what are those important truths? Things that every Christian must understand in their mind and believe in their heart. And the first is the virgin birth of Jesus. Jesus was here, and he was absolutely sinless. Don't believe it when somebody says that Jesus was tempted and sinned. He was tempted, but he never sinned, and he was absolutely perfect, for which we praise God. That's truth number one. Truth number two is his resurrection. Believe it or not, there are Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who have difficulty really comprehending that Jesus rose from the grave. But for you and for me, it is vitally important that we remember his virgin birth and remember his resurrection. We'll deal with the third one in a moment. You might ask the question in the bulletin this morning. I said this is an Easter message that's different to other Easter messages. And you might wonder, what is different about this Easter Sunday? Well, it's the third truth. And the third truth is that Jesus is coming back again. Now, believe it or not, there are some 8 billion people in this world, and it is estimated that there are 2 billion Christians. I don't know if that's true, but let's say that it is. So 2 billion, one quarter of the people, know about Jesus, and you would be surprised at the number of people who've committed their life to Jesus who do not know that he's coming back. But he's coming back, and he will be establishing his millennial reign. Now, over the past number of months, we have been dealing with events that are going to take place in our future, leading up to that millennial reign of Jesus. We know that any day now, the rapture is going to occur. The rapture is when the trumpet of God sounds and every true believer goes up in heaven to be with Jesus. If you don't know much about the rapture, then ask another believer, what do you know about the rapture? But then following the rapture of the church comes the tribulation period, which is hell here on earth for those who are left behind. And then following that tribulation period, which, praise be to God, lasts only about 7 years, but then comes Jesus returning with his church First of all, he came to get his church at the rapture. We're going to be in heaven during that time, and then we'll come back with him when he establishes his millennial reign here on earth, and he will be reigning for 1,000 years. So that is a praise God item. Now then, our scripture this morning is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah the prophet, written somewhere 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, as I read this scripture, you're going to discover, as we look at it, that events in this scripture have not happened yet, but they are going to happen. It means they are ahead of us. And we believe that this passage of scripture refers to not past age, not the present age, but to the millennial reign of Christ. So we're looking at the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11, reading from verses 1 to 9. Let us hear the word of God. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse was the father of King David, and then Christ's line came through that line. So a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, nor decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be in his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Now hear this. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of... Oh, that's the end of the reading. So we praise God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I got carried up in the message and it's going to go on to read the full chapter 11 of Isaiah. But now we're talking about the millennial reign of Jesus. The millennial reign of him. What is it going to look like? What is it going to be like? I've often been asked the question, what will the millennium be like? Or how will we live then? Two very good questions. Have you ever thought about it? You thought about coming under Christ's rule and Christ's reign and being on the earth? There are so many things. What might it be like to live in an environment where there is no sin and no sinful allurement? No sin and no sinful allurement. What would it be like to live in an environment where all rebellion and unrighteousness has been removed? What might it be like to live in an environment that will be characterized by peace and prosperity and purity and prolonged life and personal joy? What would it be like? Well then, let's take a look at these, all who will experience entering into the millennium, into the 1,000 year of Jesus. First of all, it will be a time of peace. About 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah the prophet wrote these remarkable words. He will judge between the nations, and he will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now, he will judge. Who's the he? The he is Jesus. But you'll also notice they will beat their swords into plowshares. At the United Nations in New York City, there is a picture, a figure of a man with a hammer in his hand beating a sword into a plowshare, into a plow. Now, the intention by the United Nations at that time was that peace is going to come, and they used this part of the prophet Isaiah, his words, to include an inscription on the United Nations building. Maybe they had good intentions. Maybe their idea for the United Nations to begin with was that they would bring peace about in this earth, the world over, and people would be beating their swords into plows. But you and I know the United Nations has not accomplished that. in the past. It is not accomplishing it now, and it will not accomplish it in the future. The only way that this is going to happen is when Jesus comes, and Jesus is the one who is going to insist that there is peace throughout this world and will indeed be beating our swords into plows. The Bible repeatedly speaks of the reign of peace that will characterize the millennial reign of Jesus. The psalmist wrote, "In his days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace." In our scripture this morning, we read the words from Isaiah, "The wolf will live with the lamb." Now, you know, that's impossible in this day and age. "The leopard will lie down with the goat." Most leopards would be chasing the goat for its meal. But that's not what's going to happen during the millennial reign. The calf and the lion and the yearling all together. Unbelievable, but it will be happening. In this day and age, it's hard to believe, but it is coming. War will be utterly unknown during our Savior's reign. Not one cent will be spent on a military budget of any nature, not even be misspent. Even animals will be friendly to one another. As I said at least twice before, hard to believe, but true. That's the millennial reign of Jesus. It'll be a time of peace. It'll be a time of prosperity. It stands to reason that when Jesus is ruling, the world will be economically healthy. Money and budgets will not be misspent. The land of Israel, where our Savior's throne will be, will flourish beyond anything in our imagination. Just think about it. And think and keep our minds focused on this. You and I, as believers in and followers of Jesus Christ, we will be in that millennial kingdom. The scripture says, "I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land." And Ezekiel says, "The Lord will multiply the fruit of your eyes and the increase of your fields, so that you never again bear the reproach," that is rebuke or scolding, "of famine among the nations." Can you imagine? Right now, people seem to despise Israel and despise Jerusalem. And they are against all that's going on in Israel and what goes on in Jerusalem. But there will be a day coming when people will be flocking, at least mentally, if not physically, to the city of Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus will be. It'll be a time of peace. It'll be a time of prosperity. It'll be a time of purity. I believe that we as humans long for holiness and purity. Since the millennial reign, during the millennial reign, there will be no sin, and sin will be kept in check, and any disobedience will be dealt with very quickly. Those on earth at that time will experience joy. They will enjoy their life. And as we think about it, it's something that we've all longed for. And now we're thinking, the scripture says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord is not worldwide. There are many places in this world where the word of God is not allowed to be kept in your home or allowed to be read. But there is a time coming when the whole world is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And that's going to happen during the millennial reign. You and I will talk to our neighbors. We'll be talking about the word of the Lord. We won't have to remind each other what it is. We will know what it's all about. Then we read further in Isaiah, "It shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me." Can you imagine? Everyone will be bowing down and worshiping before the Lord. "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered." There are idols throughout the world, in various countries, and even in homes, many idols. God is going to cut them off. And then it says, "I will also cause the prophets," that means the false prophets, "and the unclean spirit to depart from the land." All of this going to happen in a kingdom in which you and I will be involved. It will be a time of peace. It'll be a time of prosperity. It'll be a time of purity, and it will be a time of prolonged life. For those who enter the millennial reign, who are alive at the time that our Savior comes to rule, his glorious appearing, they will experience long life in comparison to what we experience today. Before the flood, many people lived long lives. In fact, one man by the name of Methuselah is the longest recorded number of years, 969 years he lived on this earth. That's a long, long time. Can you imagine living even longer than that? We think, why were people allowed, able to live that way? Well, many believe that before the flood, the earth was like a giant greenhouse or a giant hothouse. And as a result, when we think of perfect weather conditions during that time, and the genetic pool was so young that people lived for many centuries. Hard for us to get in our mind, but that's exactly what happened at that time. It seems obvious that the flood changed the nature of the earth. So prior to the flood, long life was not only possible, but it is what took place. It was commonplace. It's what occurred at that time. In Psalm number 90, informs us that today's lifespan is somewhere about 70 or 80 years. Now, give or take, depending on all sorts of things, but in the millennium, all of this will change. Again, we read from Isaiah the prophet, "Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed." So it's a time of prolonged life. Think of this millennial reign of Jesus, of which we will be a part. It'll be a time of peace, a time of prosperity, a time of purity, a time of prolonged life, and a time of personal joy. I suspect that not one of us has experienced a lifetime of absolute joy. We have had times of joy. They've been rather brief. For some, it's a little bit longer. We look back at the people on this earth. The only time that complete joy would have been experienced would have been in the Garden of Eden. And since that time, since sin had entered the world, complete joy has not been available. Longed for by many, yes, but achieved, no. But yet, it's going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. Yet again, we refer to God's word. Isaiah said, "You, God, have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Or, "Therefore with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They will break forth into singing. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us.' This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Now, can you think about it? Everyone who is alive and well on planet Earth at that time, including you and including me, because we'll come back with Jesus, will have this kind of joy that we've never experienced before. Indeed, the millennial reign of our blessed Savior will be Earth's golden age. And as we think about it, there will be a time, rehearsing these words again, of peace, prosperity, purity, prolonged life, and personal joy. Dr. David Jeremiah, a great preacher, a great teacher, he said, "All of this is simply the prelude to heaven. It's an overture of eternity. Because following the millennial reign comes eternity, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and you and I will be part of it as well. Jesus came the first time to be our Savior. Jesus is coming the second time to be our King. The coming of Christ to set up his kingdom will be so much different than when he came before. Someone, and I couldn't find the author, but someone wrote this. And we're going to look at the series of comparisons. So number one, he entered the world the first time in swaddling clothes. He will reign the second time in majestic purple. This is Jesus. He came the first time as a weary traveler. He will return the second time as the untiring God. Once when he came, he had nowhere to lay his head. When he comes back, he will be revealed as the heir of all things. Once he was rejected by tiny Israel. When he returns, he will be accepted by every nation. Think about it. Think about the world conditions right now. Are people dying to get to Israel? Are people looking at Israel positively? The world over, look at the news. People are not looking at Israel positively. But once he was rejected by tiny Israel, when he returns, he'll be accepted by every nation. Praise be to God. Once he was a lonely savior, acquainted with grief, then he will be the mighty God, anointed with the oil of gladness. Once he was smitten with a reed, then he will rule with a rod of iron. Once wicked soldiers bowed the knee in mockery, then every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Once he received a crown of thorns, then he will receive a crown of gold. Once he was laid in a tomb, then he will sit on a throne. This is Jesus. Yes, this is a different Easter message to what we usually have. Jesus was born, lived, died, buried, and then, praise be to our living God, he rose Jesus from the grave, from the dead. He lifted him up. He was alive forevermore. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to others. He appeared to 500 people or so at once. All of this took place back then. But you and I serve a risen Savior. You and I will be with him in all of eternity. But for the first 1,000 years, we'll be with him as he rules here on earth. Jesus is coming back again. That was the third truth that even many Christians don't realize. They worship him, they love him, they serve him, but they don't fully realize that he's coming back one day. And indeed he is. Praise be to God. He's coming back in two stages. What are those two stages? Stage number one, to take his church to be with him. And stage number two, to return with his church, with his holy angels, and rule for 1,000 years. And I will conclude this message with these words. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's say it together. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Our Father and our God, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being obedient to God the Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for fulfilling your role here on this earth, that you came to this earth for one purpose. That one purpose was to pay for our sin. And sadly to us, the payment was on the cross and the great humiliation that you received. But Lord, then came Resurrection Sunday. Then came when you rose from the grave and you were alive forevermore. And that's why we have an empty cross before us. Not one with the crucified Christ, but an empty cross. Because, Lord Jesus, we know that you rose from the grave. You had victory over hell, death, and the grave, not only for yourself, but for every believer from that time on. We praise you that we serve a risen Savior. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. In our Savior's name, amen.